Long ago, a man named John appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance, and this was his message. There is one coming after me who is more powerful than I. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Let us join in praising God for the gift of Jesus, his beloved Son, in whom God is well pleased. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you and praise you that we can come together in this place with rejoicing in our hearts because of what you have done for us in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Nothing we deserve, nothing that we could earn, and yet by your grace, you have given us the gift of salvation in your Son. We thank you for that even as we celebrate that today through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. The reason we sang that hymn, which is an adaptation of the Apostles' Creed, is that today we're emphasizing baptism. And in the ancient church, what they would do is people who, before they were going to be baptized, they would teach them the creed and teach them exactly what they believe, what we believe as Christians, so that they would understand what that was all about. And so we need to understand our Christian faith, and part of our faith tells us is that we are sinners, that we've all every one of us, myself included, fallen short of God's goals for us, God's ideal for us. So let us confess that using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. Merciful God, in baptism you promise forgiveness and new life, making us part of the body of Christ. We confess that we remain preoccupied with ourselves, separated from sisters and brothers in Christ. We cling to destructive habits, hold grudges, and show reluctance to welcome one another. In your loving kindness, have mercy on us and free us from our sin. Remind us of the promises you make in baptism so that we may rise to new life and live together in your grace through Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen. I read a quote this past week from famed evangelist D.L. Moody, said that the sound of our sin is loud, but the sound of God's forgiveness is even louder. Apostle Paul put it this way: where sin abounded, God's grace superabounded. Our sin is huge, just mine, and then multiply it by yours and everyone else. But God's grace is even greater. So accept and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are completely forgiven. Amen. Invite all the children to join me down front now for the children's sermon. As they're coming, greet someone close by, maybe someone you haven't spoken to yet. Let them know you're glad to see them today. Colby, did you make that? All right, good morning. I want you to come closer because I've got a book I'm going to read you. I want you to be able to see it. Do you see what that is right there? Is it usually sitting there? Isn't it kind of out of place? Usually it's sitting over here. But yeah, that's the baptismal font. That's what has a container in there. It has water in it that I use when I baptize. Yeah. And I might have baptized some of you or some of you over the years. This is a book about baptism, so I wanted to read it to you. It's called Baptism Promises. We're talking about baptism today. Your baptism was a very special day. Now, if you were baptized when you were a little baby, you don't remember that. But I hope that maybe your mom or your dad or your grandparent took a picture, and maybe they can go back and show you a picture of the day that you were baptized. It was a very special day when you were baptized. On this special day, our family said, we want you to be baptized. What happens is when you're a baby and you're baptized, you don't come by yourself. You can't even walk. But your family brings you. They want you to be baptized. And they promise, your family promises, we will try to live as Jesus taught. We will try to do what Jesus taught us to do. Everybody in the church also makes promises when you're baptized. Everybody in the church says, we promise to help you. We will teach you Bible stories and show you how to live as Jesus taught. We promise to love and pray for you and your family. And that's one of the great things about baptism. It's not just you and your family, but it's all of us together. We're all working together to help you and your family as we all seek to follow Jesus. When you were baptized, everybody smiled when the pastor put water on your head and said, this is what I say when I baptize somebody, no matter whether they're young or old, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That I'm baptizing you because God has told me to baptize you. Not everyone knows that you are a child of God. God promises to always love you, and we do too. And that's one of the great things about baptism. When you're baptized, God is saying, I love you. When Jesus was baptized, there was a voice from heaven. It was God speaking, and he said, this is my Son, talking about Jesus. He said, this is my Son, and with him I am well pleased. I love him. I am pleased with him. And when we're baptized, it's almost like God is saying that to us through Jesus. I love you. Did you know that God loves you? You know, that's the most important thing, and I can tell you this morning. God loves you. And we want to love you too and love each other as well. Okay? Let's have a prayer. You make your praying hands and just listen as I pray. Dear God, thank you for all the signs around us that you love us. And baptism is one of those most important ones. Help each boy and girl who's sitting here right now to know that they are loved, that you love them, and that we love them too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks for being great listeners. Now you can head out to Children's Church. Did you just think that up to play that, Betsy? That was just perfect for what I told the children. Good job. All right, let me invite you to look with me in our scripture lesson today, found in Matthew chapter 3, as we read the story of Jesus' baptism. We open our Bibles together now. Let's open our hearts before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we cannot live by bread alone. By food alone, we need your word to nourish us, to guide us, to show us the way. So, Lord, as we look into your word now, we pray that you would do that through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Listen carefully, for this is God's word to us. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, many of you know that I grew up in the Baptist church, and so I was fully immersed in my baptism. And then in time, I became a Presbyterian minister. Now, every now and then, I get the question, why did you switch from the Baptist church to the Presbyterian church? And there are lots of ways for me to answer that question. I'll be glad to have that discussion with you sometime if you're really, really interested. But one of the reasons is, this is not the most important one, but this is one I like to tell people. If I were a Baptist minister, there's certain people that I'm not sure that I would be comfortable immersing. They might go down, but they might not come back up, you know? Whereas the Presbyterian, I don't have to worry about that. Although, let me tell you that in our Book of Order, you might not know this, but in our Book of Order, this is one of the things I like about the Presbyterian Church, it allows for all different forms of baptism, not just sprinkling, but it allows for immersion because it recognizes that the amount of water is not the most vital thing when it comes to baptism. Now, the story is told of a Baptist minister who was all set to do his very first baptism. He had studied, he had practiced, he had memorized what he was going to say. And then, if I don't know if some of you maybe have never seen a baptism in a Baptist church, but they usually have a baptismal pool, and the minister stands in the pool, and then the person who's going to be baptized enters the pool. So he was standing there in the pool, and the person came over to him, and then he just froze. He didn't know what to do. So he just raised his right hand and said, "Drink ye all of it." He got baptism and communion, you know, kind of mixed up. Well, today we want to focus on baptism and think about what our baptism tells us or teaches us. And I want to just point out to you three things that baptism tells you as we think about this scripture. First of all, baptism tells us who Jesus is. And that's, after all, the most important thing. Who Jesus is. Now, you go back to this story. John was baptizing people in the Jordan River. This was strange. This was not normal. Now, in the Hebrew scriptures and in the Hebrew tradition, it talked about baptism and washing, but it was usually for someone who was, as we would say, not a Jew and was becoming a Jew. It was for those Gentiles, maybe some kind of ritual cleansing. But John appears on the scene, and he's talking to Jews, and he says, "You need to be baptized. I will baptize you." And what kind of baptism was it? What was that word that he kept mentioning over and over again? Starts with an R. Repentance. Yes, it's a baptism of repentance. In other words, it's your way of saying to God, "I have sinned and I need your cleansing." And so he was baptizing people in the Jordan River. And then one day, Jesus showed up. John knew who he was. And so he says to Jesus, "I don't need to be baptizing you." Part of it was the respect and worship that he offered to Jesus. Another part of it would be that this is a baptism of repentance. Jesus doesn't have sins that need to be repented of like everyone else. But Jesus says, "No, John, we need to do this." In Matthew's version of it, he says, "It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Part of what Jesus was doing there, and part of the essence of baptism, is identification. Jesus was identifying with us. Jesus was not saying, "I have sins that need to be repented of," but he was identifying with us as human beings. And so, yes, I want to be baptized too, to identify with you. And then when we are baptized, we are identified with Jesus. So that Jesus' death becomes our death. We die with Jesus. And then Jesus' resurrection becomes our resurrection. We are raised to new life because we are identified. We're united with Jesus. And then as Jesus was baptized, as I told the children, you know what happened? Read the story there in Matthew chapter 3. Heaven was open in some very special way. And the Spirit of God came down from heaven like a dove. And then there was a voice from heaven, the voice of God the Father. So you have, you know, in a very mysterious way, like kind of all three persons of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Son of God, the voice of God from heaven. And Jesus says, "This is my Son." Now, that's special language. In the Old Testament, sometimes the king of Israel, who was the representative of all the people, might have been thought of in a special way as God's son. But now this is taking that to a different level. This is God's unique son. Nobody else like this. God's one and only son. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And so that is now a public statement of who Jesus is. So baptism teaches us who Jesus really is. But then secondly, my baptism tells me who I am. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus speaks these words to the disciples. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. And what did he tell them to do when they went? Baptizing people in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached to the thousands, and people asked him, well, what should we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Now, we as Presbyterians believe that there are two sacraments of the church. Baptism is one. You know what the other one is? Lord's Supper, communion, yeah. Now, why those? Well, we believe that those are outward signs that God has given us, things that we can see, touch, taste, experience with our senses, that are reminders of God's love for us. They're outward signs of God's invisible inward grace. And they're also something that Jesus specifically told us to do. Baptism, he said, go baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Communion, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So there are things that Jesus specifically commanded us to do. They are outward signs. In the baptism, it's water, something that you can see and touch. In the case of communion, it's bread, cup, something that you can actually taste for yourself. Outward signs of God's inward work in your heart. And what is that inward work? It's a way of God saying to you, you are my child. I love you. Look at the lengths to which God was willing to go to say to you in a very special way, you are my child. I love you. In sending Jesus, in giving Jesus for us. Now, also in the Presbyterian Church, I told you that we baptize with any amount of water. But we also, we do baptize people who come, adults who come and say, I believe in Jesus. I've never been baptized. I baptize them. But what about children? Some people have trouble with that. Is there a verse in the Bible where it says, thou shalt baptize infants? No, there's no verse in the Bible. Well, then why do we do that? Well, one of the reasons we do that is we believe, the Bible does say, that the promises of God are for us and for our children. And so when you bring your baby to be baptized, is faith present at that baptism? Yes, not the baby's faith, but your faith. In other words, an unbeliever wouldn't bring a child for baptism, but someone is bringing that child who believes in Jesus and is claiming those promises for that child until that child is old enough to claim those promises for herself or for himself. You know, each baptism of a baby, I think of it as looking forward to in hope. We know that we don't know for sure, but we in hope we look forward to the day when that child will grow up and will confess their faith in Jesus Christ for themselves. And so we baptize children as well. Now, we still believe that each person has to come to their own place of faith for themselves. Reminds me of a story of a little boy whose father caught him doing something wrong. You ever been in that situation? The father threatened to punish the boy. The boy just stood up tall and proud, as tall and proud as he could, and said to his father, you can't do that. I've been baptized. Well, you know, at that point, you kind of think of anything you can to try to get out of punishment. But the little boy was on to something. Reminds me of the story of Martin Luther, one of the great reformers. Martin Luther faced I don't know if you realize this, but he faced a time of deep depression in his life. He didn't feel like reading his Bible. He didn't feel like praying. He didn't even feel like having a conversation with his family. But then at some point, there was a light that turned on in his soul. It's as if the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, "You are baptized." And he began to think about what that meant. No matter what his feelings were, this was who he was. He belonged to God. He was part of God's family. He was God's dearly loved child. Your baptism is a sign of that. And if you think back on, "I have been baptized," that tells me something. It tells me something about who I am. I don't deserve it, but God has given it to me. And then thirdly, it tells you, your baptism tells you not only who you are, but whose you are. Remember what I said about identification and baptism? Baptism tells me whose I am, that I belong to Jesus Christ, that I am connected to Christ, so that when God says to Jesus, "This is my beloved son," it's as if he's saying through baptism to me, "You are my beloved child." Now, it's one thing to know my name. It's another thing to know the family to which I belong. You can know my name, but maybe not. And you know how it is when you get to know, if you meet somebody, you know their name, and then when you learn their family, it kind of fills out the picture of who they are and what you know about them. Well, baptism tells me whose I am, to what family I belong. Not long ago, I read an incident about a story that happened during the dark days of the Civil War. I don't think any of us can really imagine exactly what it was like at that time, on both sides, to live through that time. Well, John Goodwin was a Confederate soldier who was converted under the great preaching of a chaplain named Willie Raglan. Goodwin then, after he was converted, wanted to be baptized. And there was a nearby river. The only problem was that river was the dividing line between where the Confederate troops were and the Union troops were. But by faith, the chaplain agreed, "Okay, I will go to that river with you and baptize you." So that chaplain and Goodwin and about 50 Confederate soldiers left their weapons behind and started walking toward that river, knowing that there was a good possibility they'd be picked off by Union snipers. Well, the Union soldiers saw them heading to the river. They saw they didn't have their rifles with them. They wondered, what in the world is going on? They waited. Well, the Confederate soldiers went down into the river. And as they went into the river, they started singing, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." The Union soldiers heard that. Gradually, one by one, some of the Union soldiers left their weapons behind and walked to the riverbank and joined in singing with Goodwin and the other Confederate soldiers as Goodwin was baptized. So for just a few moments, both armies were at peace as they witnessed the dying of an old man and the coming to new life in Christ of a new man in baptism in that river. Today, I want to invite you to renew your own baptismal vows. The way we're going to do that is, you see the baptismal font here in front? There's water there in the font. And I want to tell you also, there's water from the Jordan River in that font. You have that connection today, water that I brought back from the Jordan River that is there. As we participate together in renewing our baptismal vows, you think about the story of Jesus in the Jordan River and the connection there, that there's actual water from the Jordan River there as well. I want to invite you, as you're able, and if you're willing, this is not something that is, you know, that you all have to do, but just voluntarily, if you'd like, I'm going to invite you just a moment. We're going to sing some songs. I invite you to come forward and just place your hand in the water to remind yourself that you were baptized, and to recommit yourself to the vows that were made at your baptism, whether they were vows that you made yourself or that your parents made for you. Because, you know, sometimes our Christian life and our Christian faith can get stale, just like any other relationship in life. We take it for granted. Yes, we come to church every Sunday. And yes, Jesus loves us. And yes, I've been taught that all my life. Sometimes we need to be reminded, this is really true. And this makes a real difference in my life for the here and now. Let me tell you another special thing about the font that's placed there. The container in the font that has the water, it was a special gift given by Edwin Holt to this church on Christmas Day in 1876. That was only 11 years after the completion of the Civil War. And as far as I know, every person who has been baptized in this church since then has been baptized from that same font, which also makes it very special for the connection for Graham Presbyterian Church. So let me invite you, as you're able and willing, to come renew your baptismal vows. We'll sing songs. I invite you to come. Then after everybody's had a chance, if there's anybody maybe you're not able to come forward or it's not convenient for you and you want me to bring it to you, then I will be glad to bring it to you as well as we remember whose we are. The baptismal waters remind us that we belong to Jesus Christ, that we are God's dearly loved children. So let's remind ourselves of that using the affirmation of faith. You don't have to stand, but you'll find that in your bulletin about baptism, questions 71 and 72 from the study catechism. What is baptism? Baptism is the sign and seal through which we are joined to Christ. What does it mean to be baptized? My baptism means that I am joined to Jesus Christ forever. I am baptized into his death and resurrection, along with all who have received him by faith. As I am baptized with water, he baptizes me with his Spirit, washing away all my sins and freeing me from their control. My baptism is a sign that one day I will rise with him in glory and may walk with him even now in newness of life. Let us sing together as we renew our vows of baptism. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank you for the waters of baptism that Jesus was willing to enter into, to identify with us, to let the world know that indeed he is your unique Son whom you love. Lord, we thank you that we are called to the waters of baptism, not by any merit of our own, but totally by your grace. We thank you that the waters of baptism, the outward sign of the water, reminds us of the inward cleansing that is ours through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who washes us clean. Lord, that's something else that we cannot do on our own. Sometimes we try, but we fail. So we thank you that we are united in our baptism in Jesus Christ, our Savior. That reminds us that we're united to Christ. It also reminds us that we're united to each other, that we're to care for each other, to love one another, to be there for each other when we have a need in our life. And so, Lord, we pray, especially right now, for those that are in great need, those on our prayer list, as well as those that we carry in our individual hearts. We pray for those needs, and that indeed we as your people would reach out and be a help, be a support for those who are experiencing great need at this time. Lord, we thank you for your family. We thank you for all the ways that you use even the people in this church to be your light. Lord, we pray that we would not allow that light to be dimmed, but that it would shine brightly, and that you would use us to remind others that indeed Jesus is still the light of this world. Even as we pray together in the name of Jesus, praying together the prayer that long, long ago he taught his followers to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let us now respond to God's grace in gifts that we give to God's glory.
Starry crown, good Lord.
Lord, we give you our sincere thanks for every blessing that is ours. We thank you that we are accepted in your family by your grace, that you have loved us in a very special way, and you continue to love us and show us signs of your love if we're just willing to see them all around us. Lord, we respond now with these gifts that we present as we say back to you, I love you too. Thank you for all the ways that we can share your love with people around us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. It was a moving experience for me just to watch you, those of you who came forward, and to see in your faces the meaning of what baptism means for you, and to think about the hundreds and hundreds of people who have gone before us who were baptized from this same font. You remember many of them, and to think about that they were baptized here too. That's a great reminder to us of our connection with them as well. So who are you? Well, you can tell me your name, you can tell me where you grew up, you can tell me what kind of work you do, where you go to school. All those things are important, but let me remind you the most important thing about who you are. You are God's dearly loved child. God loves you. Don't discount that. Don't diminish that. God loves you. And go forth now as the people of God, loved by God, in a love that will never change, in a love that cannot be taken away from you, in a love that you can share through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.